RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. The Ministry of Education and Culture establishes intangible cultural heritages. Cultural and Maestro Awards of Traditional Arts is held again. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture give again the Cultural and Traditional Art Maestro Awards in Jakarta on Thursday, September 28, 2017. Since 2012, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture give Cultural and Art Maestro Awards to individual, cultural community, and local government who have strong commitment to cultural heritage values. In a press conference held on Wednesday, September 27, 2017, the Cultural and Traditional Art Maestro Award Assessment Team, Azumardi Azra, said, "This activity is the government's appreciation that is expected to be the motivation of the community who has commitment to develop the culture." "We hope the award will give more encouragement and motivation to the community. I think the effort is aimed to encourage them to conduct revitalization that began to fade. With this award, it will probably encourage them to do it." As Azumardi Azra said, Indonesia is very active in exploring Indonesian culture. The cultural award in 2017, covering two classes of honor, namely the Paramadharma Culture Star and Satya Lanchana Culture Star. The cultural award consists of seven categories: Creator and Reformer category, Preservation category, Children and Youth category, Traditional Art Maestro category, Local Government category, Community category, and Foreign Individual category. Ministry of Education and Culture set 150 intangible cultural heritages in 2017. The determination of intangible cultural heritage is carried out as part of efforts for the protection of intangible cultural heritages that exist in Indonesia. The 150 intangible cultural heritages are selected from 416 proposals. They have included 5 domains in accordance with the Convention 2003 Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization of the United Nations, or UNESCO, that safeguard intangible cultural heritage, the traditions and oral expression, performing arts, social customs, knowledge and habits of behavior regarding the universe, and social skills of traditional crafts. Director General of Culture at the Ministry of Education and Culture, Hilmar Farid, said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the designation is in line with the Law No. 5/2017 on the promotion of culture. In a press conference held on Wednesday, September 27th, he said that once established, these intangible cultural heritages will be developed and nurtured.
Soal penetapan BBTB, warisan budaya tak benda ini jelas berkaitan.
The question of establishing the intangible cultural heritages is clearly related to protection. And if you read the law number 5/2017, it is really said about this protection. And why the determination is related to protection? Because to determine what needs to be protected must be established first. This regional government feels that it's pride too. Hilmar Farid explained, one way to develop and foster the intangible cultural heritages is to introduce and put it into the world of education. On the same occasion, head of Indonesia Cultural Heritage Expert Team in 2017, Pudensia MBSS, stated that this determination shows that Indonesia has a lot of cultural wealth. The intangible cultural heritages that have been established have the possibility to be nominated to the nomination of intangible cultural heritage to UNESCO. Indonesia's intangible cultural heritages have been established since 2013. Until 2017, Indonesia has 594 intangible cultural heritages. This year, the Ministry of Education and Culture establishes 150 intangible cultural heritages. Bina Arta Sekuritas senior analyst Reza Priyambada predicts that rupiah will continue to weaken, caused by the minimum positive sentiment domestically and internationally. Reza said on Thursday, September 28th, that the rupiah is predicted to move around 13,401 rupiahs at its peak and 13,319 at its weakest. The market, Reza observed, tends to enter the safe haven assets required for the portfolios. They continue to monitor the numerous sentiments that can cause rupiah plunging further down. The EU growth is still weak following the German presidential election that sparked the market goers to take advantage of the euro currency. The weakening of euro was also caused by an internal conflict in Spain. The government is preparing Jakarta as an alternative place to host the IMF World Bank meeting in 2018 in response to the unstable condition of Bali's Monagung. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta on Wednesday said that the contingency plan includes the possible relocation of the meeting venues from Nusa Dua, Bali to another city. The IMF World Bank 2018 annual meeting is scheduled to be held next year, from October the 8th until 14th in Bali. 15,000 and 17,000 people from 189 countries are expected to participate in the annual event, including country officials, international observers, academics, journalists, and NGO representatives. The government expects the event to attract more tourism to Bali. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya has said that his ministry will prepare several tourist packages and promote them on the travel website TripAdvisor. Local leaders attending the Governor's Climate and Forest Task Force or GCF Forum in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan, have agreed to protect the rights of indigenous communities. West Papua Deputy Governor Muhammad Lakotani said in a press conference on Wednesday evening, indigenous people are rightful owners of natural resources. Acknowledging the rights of indigenous people and providing them with easier access to technology and the capital are the part of the agreements stipulated in the Balikpapan Statement, which will be signed on Thursday. The GCF is a forum of governors or provinces or states that was initiated by the former Californian governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in 2009. The members of the forum are governors from 38 provinces and 10 states. Three new members of GCFs are Roraima from Brazil, Oaxaca from Mexico, and Pastaza from Ecuador. In 2014, the GCF made an agreement in Rio Branco, Brazil, which was later implemented in Indonesia through a commitment to reduce the deforestation rate from 320,000 hectares per year to only 65,000 hectares. The need to protect the rights of indigenous people has been stipulated in the agreement. GCF Task Force head William Boyd said the challenge the forum was facing was how to translate the commitment and dialogues into action. Indonesia will produce stainless steel products reaching 4 million tons by 2019, so that Indonesia will become the second largest producer in the world or equivalent to production in Europe. The target will be achieved from Morowali Industrial Area, Central Sulawesi, which this year produces stainless steels of 2 million tons. It was announced by Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto through an official statement at Kota Bayantara in Jakarta on Wednesday. The increase in production capacity due to the realization of investment on some nickel-based processing and refining industries in industrial estate. The Ministry of Industry noted that with 2,000 hectares, Morowali Industrial Estate will attract an investment of $6 billion or 80 trillion rupees by absorbing direct labors of about 26,000 people and indirect as much as 80,000 people until 2019. Currently, in addition to the expansion plan of stainless steel industry, Minister Erlangga also said in the industrial area, which the development comes from the cooperation between companies from Indonesia and China, will target the production of carbon steel factory reach to 3.5 million tons per year. Indonesia targets foreign tourists, especially from France, by presenting Wonderful Indonesia at the international French travel market Top Reza in Paris, France, starting from September 26 until 29, 2017. Deputy of Foreign Development and Marketing Sector Iga Depitana said on Wednesday to Antara London, the Ministry of Tourism during the exhibition facilitates 14 tourism industries consisting of 9 operators of tour and also 5 hotels from Bali, West Nusa Tenggara, Jakarta and Raja Ampat. He also said that those tourism industries made business transactions with prospective buyers such as top management, owners and managers of tour operators, hotels and other tourism industries from France and surrounding area. Indonesian promotion is also held through the branding logo of Wonderful Indonesia at 16 open tours bus in Paris since September 12, 2017, which will run until October 9, 2017. The tour buses are wrapped with designs of Indonesia's flagship tourism destinations such as Borobudur Temple, Bali, Komodo Island, Lake Toba and Raja Ampat. Well, listener, that was the news.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our daily program commentary. Today's title of commentary is Fulfillment of Food Needs. The government of Indonesia is now preferring the area around Jakarta as a buffer area of the food development for the capital. Head of Research and Development Agency of Agriculture Ministry, Muhammad Shakir, said yesterday that the government has provided assistance for 4 districts in Banten province as well as several districts in West Java and Lampung province, especially for the productivity of maize, agriculture machinery seeds and market access of farmers for industry. In addition, the Agriculture Ministry, in cooperation with other ministries such as Minister of Environment and Forestry, also seek the appropriation of land. Efforts to increase agriculture production to meet food needs should be the interest of many parties, not only in Indonesia but also in all parts of the world. In the era of millennial generation, agriculture in Indonesia seems to have decreased as the younger generation find other fields instead of agriculture field. High food prices in the country, especially on the occasion of religious holidays, indicates that supply is no longer proportional to the demand. Thus, the Indonesian government should pay serious attention to agriculture. Some experts, even the public, agree that one of the big problems amid the growing world population, which is quite high from year to year, is the availability of food. The population of Indonesia, for example, which now reaches about 260 million people, demands a huge supply of food. Indonesia is also trying to achieve its independence through food self-sufficiency program. Seemingly, it is not difficult to return to the golden age in the 80s on which Indonesia was able to be self-sufficient in rice. But present challenge has its own level of difficulty. Take, for example, how to raise the image of farmers and fishermen as they have promising the profession as farmers or fishermen. Consequently, the food needs can be fulfilled for all. If the need for food cannot be fulfilled, this will pose problems in the country or even it may cause conflict between nations. Thus, every country must prioritize the agriculture development program related to the fulfillment of food needs for the population. Besides contributing to fulfill the world food supply is important, such as providing technical assistance to other countries. Each country has its own advantage that can be synergized with the advantage of other countries. It is expected that food vulnerability in any part of the world can be overcome as early as possible to prevent other problems arising. So far, Indonesia has also been committed to sharing its knowledge and experience to other countries in need. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again. I'm Hermana Rahmana in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, we start current event on September 20, 1928 when Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin. Sir Alexander Fleming was a Scottish biologist, pharmacologist, and botanist. His best known discoveries are the enzyme lysomide in 1923 and the antibiotic substance benyl penicillin or penicillin G from the malt penicillin Notatum in 1928, for which he shared the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine in 1945 with Howard Florey and Ernest Boris Jain. He wrote many articles on bacteriology, immunology, and chemotherapy. The next ban was in 1945, was decided as the Day of Indonesian Railway. After proclamation of Indonesian independence was voiced on August 17, 1945, employees of the train company who joined in the railway Muda forces took over railway authority from Japan. On 28 September 1945, reading the statement by Ismail, a number of forces members asserted that at the time of the day, railway authority was on the hand of Indonesia, so that Japan had no rights to interfere business of railway in Indonesia. This is what underlies the enactment of September 28, 1945 as the day of Indonesian Railway. And the last event was in 1999 when Lampung tragedy occurred. Lampung tragedy occurred on September 28, 1999. In the event, two students at the University of Lampung were shot dead during a demonstration rejecting plan draft state of emergency response in Bandar Lampung, Lampung, Indonesia. Lampung tragedy began when students from University of Lampung walking towards Bandar Lampung University to join their colleagues to take action against the state of emergency response bill and demonstration in solidarity with their colleagues who died in Semanggi, Jakarta 4 days earlier. After joining, they protested and walked towards Makorent 043 Garuda Hitam. However, when passing Kramil Kedaton headquarters near Bandar Lampung University, student immediately lowered the flag to half-mast for the sake of respect for the student who a few days ago had been shot dead. After the situation had become unmanageable, because the commander refused the willingness of student to sign the rejection of the enactment of the bill, and there were throwing stones and gunfire. The student scattered and fled into the University of Bandar Lampung. Shortly after, it was discovered that Grand Hulet has taken the life of Muhammad Yusuf Rizal. A few days later, Saiful Fitrian, Lampung University student who was victim of the violence apparatus, eventually died. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listeners, welcome back with me. I'm Hermana Rahmana with Focus. The title of today's Focus is Indonesia has the opportunity to become the largest digital economic country in Southeast Asia. Indonesia has great potential in the development of digital economy. Of the total population of 260 million people, about 93.4 million of them are internet users. The opportunity needs to be responded quickly by national business actors, especially small and medium industry sector, to expand market access and increase revenue. Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto in his written statement on Monday mentioned that as majority sector of industrial population in Indonesia, the small and medium industry sectors plays a major role in promoting equity and the backbone of the country's economy. Based on data from the Central Bureau of Statistics processed by the Directorate General of Small and Medium Industry Sector of the Ministry of Industry, the number of local small and medium businesses, SMEs, is estimated to reach 4.4 million business units by employing 10.1 million people by 2016. Thus, one of the priority programs of the Minister of Industry is the development of small and medium industry sector with a digital platform through eSmart Small and Medium Industry Sector. Minister Airlangga Hartarto said that the eSmart and Small Medium Industry Sector is a national SMES database system presenting the phone of industry profiles, centers, and products that are integrated with existing marketplaces. The goal is to further increase small and medium industry sector's market access through internet marketing. Furthermore, the initiated and launched program by the Minister of Industry since January 2017 will also improve access to raw materials, technology, and capital and provide guidance for policymakers in the function of coaching program with more integrated and effective. Minister Airlangga Hartarto hopes through eSmart, the quality of regional Indonesian products can flood electronic commerce market or e-commerce domestically and globally. Moreover, there is currently a trend of transaction from offline market to the online market. By using digital technology to promote online products, the actors of small and medium industry sector are also confident to be able to gain significantly more profit by 80% and to become 17 times more innovative. In the development of digital technology industrial sector, the governments of Indonesia and Singapore have agreed to synergize next year to market more widely to the best-selling and widely marketed commodities through online such as food and beverages. Well, listener, that was our focus today. Thanks for listening.
Listener, here is news in brief. The Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture gave again the Cultural and Traditional Art Maestro Awards in Jakarta on Thursday, September 28, 2017. Ministry of Education and Culture set 150 intangible cultural heritages in 2017. Bina Arta Sekuritas Senior Analyst Reza Priyambada predicts that rupiah will continue to weaken, caused by the minimum positive sentiment domestically and internationally. The government is preparing Jakarta as an alternative place to host the IMF World Bank meeting in 2018 in response to the unstable condition of Bali's Monagung. Local leaders attending the Governance Climate and Foreign Task Force or GCF Forum in Balikpapan, Kalimantan have agreed to protect the rights of indigenous communities. Indonesia will produce stainless steel products reaching 4 million tons by 2019 so that Indonesia will become the second largest producer in the world or equivalent to production in Europe. Indonesia targets foreign tourists, especially from France, by presenting Wonderful Indonesia as the international French travel market top Reza in Paris, France, starting from September 26 until 29, 2017. Well, listener, that was the news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to Purworejo Regency. Stay tuned. Purworejo is one of the regencies in Central Java. The regency has many interesting natural tourism destinations to visit. For natural tourism, Purworejo relies on beaches in its southern part, namely Ketawang Beach, Keburuhan Beach or Pasir Puncu, Jati Malang Beach, some caves like Selok Karang Cave and Sendang Sono Cave, as well as Curug Muncar waterfall with 40 meters high. There is also Pencu Cave in Ngandagan village, formed like fort in the Dutch East Indies. In addition to the popular tourism attraction earlier, Purworejo also has a hidden tourism attraction, which is still beautiful and not much visited by tourists, but its natural beauty is quite popular compared to other tourism attractions in Purworejo. His object, called Taman Sidandang or Sidandang Park. The name of Sidandang comes from the form of waterfall which looks like dandang or traditional rice cooking. So if you visit this tourism object, you will find a giant dandang replica at the entrance gate of the park. Taman Sidandang, located in the Manoreh Hills, precisely located in the Kedung Rante Hamlet, Kaliogono Village, Kaligesing Subdistrict, Purworejo, Central Java. It is easy to find the location of Taman Sidandang because it is located right on the main road of Kaligesing. To get into this object, you are required to pay a ticket of 3,000 rupiah. Taman Sidandang is managed by the local community. The park, which was officially opened for public since 2015, has three waterfalls with diverse forms and heights. In addition to waterfall tours, in this location there are also artificial gardens with a variety of plants and kedung or pond in some part of the river. The water is very clear with different depths. There is a 30-centimeter deep pool for children's area. There is a pond with 50 to 100 centimeters depth and a pool with more than 5 meters for adults. For those who want to play water in the 5 meters pool, you do not need to worry because there is a rental buoy prepared by the park's manager. Besides playing water in Taman Sidandang, you can also walk around and sitting in the garden with green plants around it. For those who like challenges, you can try adrenaline tests by tracing the river or canyoning. Canyoning is a river-based and waterfall-based activities by using various techniques such as rappelling and swimming. The canyoning activity begins with a briefing from the operator, followed by warming up. After that, you will be guided to install a safety belt in your body. Next, you will be invited along the river. After traveling a considerable distance, you will arrive at the peak of the water, where you have to go down by using a rope. No need to worry, because the manager has checked all the security. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Taman Sidandang or Sidandang Park. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Mr. Lenny. In today's edition, we will inform you about Indonesian Umbrella Festival. Stay tuned. Umbrella in general is used to protect us from sunlight and rain. But the function of umbrella is not only that. For Indonesian people, umbrella also means culture because it is used in ritual and traditional ceremony. In ritual and traditional ceremony, umbrella is made of paper, not parachute or plastic. Unfortunately, this kind of umbrella is hardly used. That's why many business people go bankrupt. To conserve this kind of umbrella, Indonesia held Umbrella Festival 2017 on September 15 to 17, 2017 in Mangkunegara Palace Solo, Central Java. With the theme Sepayung Indonesia, this festival is to take Indonesian people to regain its unity and diversity under one umbrella, Pancasila. The festival will display 127 pieces of umbrella from Lok Sumawe, Medan, Lampung, Semarang, Yogyakarta, Magelang, Madiun, Bali, and other cities. Besides hundreds of umbrella displays, Indonesian traditional dances and photography workshop by Darwis Triadi are also performed. For the maestro dancers, there are some key names such as Didik Nini Towo, Ayu Bulan Trisna Jelantik, Hajah Munasiah Daeng Jine, and many others. Six maestro will perform on the closing ceremony of the event on September 17. While photography exhibition will display ancient umbrella from the Hindus and Buddhas era. It is an evidence that umbrella has existed since long time ago. Indonesian Umbrella Festival also becomes an expression room among nations. After Thailand delegation visited the festival in 2015, 2016, and 2017, the festival was also held in Bosang, Chiang Mai, Thailand to share and exchange ideas and experience. This year's festival will also launch logo of Indonesia's Umbrella Festival and Bosang Umbrella Festival, Chiang Mai, Thailand. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you on the next Miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you to some nostalgic pop songs from Indonesian male singer Panji Pondah. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kucari Jalan Terbaik. Happy listening.
Antara kita berdua.
sebagai pelengkap sempurnanya sandiwara.
Pancho Franspondaah, or better known as Pancho F. Ponda, is a well-known pop singer in the 1980s era. Before becoming famous as a singer, Pancho also dedicated himself as a songwriter. Almost all of his successful songs became hit songs, such as the song entitled Tak Ingin Sendiri, sung by Dian Piscesa. The song was a huge success until many re-released by many Indonesian musicians and singers with various versions. After successfully creating the hit songs and bringing many singers to fame, he still continued to widen his music career. He then presented his vocal to a wider community, and bringing many singers to fame, he still continued to expand his music career. He then presented his vocal to a wider community by bringing his own composition of songs. The song Ku Cari Jalan Terbaik is one of the songs that helped to raise the name of Pancho F. Pondaah as a top singer and composer. This song tells about the life of a husband and wife couple who do not love each other, but in the presence of others have to play to look like a harmonious couple, while it is contrary to the reality. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Demi Kau dan Si Buah Hati. Happy listening.
Mengapa harus begini?
Demi Kau dan Si Buah Hati sung by Makassar-born singer Panje F. Pondaah. The singer was founded a recording studio company is still carrying the theme of the life of a married couple. The husband must work until every night. He often leave his wife and children at home. However, in fact, he did everything for the sake of his beloved family. Well, listeners, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Mulanya Biasa Saja and Mengapa Ada Dusta, sung by Panje F. Pondaah. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.